It's Saturday, the 9th of May, day 49. I've just been reading a thoughtful essay in The Atlantic by the American poet Thomas Lynch, who also happens to be an undertaker and the author of a beautiful book of essays on his trade that was a bestseller in 1998. The current emergency, he writes now, disallows all but the most needful duty to burn or bury the dead on a schedule advanced by a witless virus. The coronavirus overwhelms not only our medical, financial, social, and religious infrastructures, but our mortuary ones as well. For many mourners, the postponed and bodiless obsequies will make the lonely deaths only more unmooring. Like trying to understand love when the bride is absent from her nuptials, or initiation and new life, naming and claiming when the baby is missing from the baptism. That rings a bell, I can tell you. Just over 2 weeks ago, my elderly mother-in-law, Elsie, was taken by the coronavirus. She had dementia, but for the last few years had been living in a very nice care home where she seemed to be happy. She was always a cheerful, sociable soul, and those blessed characteristics survived the erosion of her memory. She was always happy to see us, even if she hadn't the faintest idea of who we were. 3 years ago, we all, her son and son-in-law, her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, came to celebrate her 90th birthday. And I have some lovely pictures of her sitting, baffled but delighted, in the bosom of this large, affectionate family. One of the great consolations for us was that she seemed really to like the care home. It had been a real struggle to enable her to live in her own house, with carers coming and going. But in the home, she was relaxed and apparently happy. And then a month or so ago, COVID-19 arrived. One resident contracted it and was moved to hospital, where, mercifully, he later recovered. But after that, the care home went into lockdown mode. Residents were required to stay in their rooms. Elsie couldn't understand why this was imposed on her and became distressed. She also started to show symptoms of the infection, and so was removed to hospital, where, several days later, she died. For us, this was what the New York Times health correspondent Don McNeil describes as our Spanish flu moment. The thing about the 1918 pandemic, he said, was that while not everybody died, everybody knew someone who had. And now we fitted that template. Neither my brother-in-law, her son, nor I were able to travel to be with her, for we were both in lockdown. And even if we had been able to get to the hospital 2.5 hours away, we wouldn't have been admitted. So poor Elsie died, confused and alone, with nobody to hold her hand as she slipped away. This is one of the cruelest things about the pandemic. It's terrible, of course, for families of patients, but it's also emotionally traumatic for frontline medical staff. Having to hold a mobile phone up to patients so that they can say goodbye to their loved ones really eats into your soul. It's no wonder that so many NHS staff wind up traumatized, despite their professionalism, or perhaps because of it. The aftermath is also traumatic for families, but in a different way. Normal funerals are currently out of the question. An undertaker collects the body of the deceased and essentially books a slot with a crematorium or a graveyard. So it was with Elsie. Her slot was last Thursday morning at 8 a.m. There would be a very brief ceremony organised by the funeral director, but, we were told, there would be a live video feed for family members. So, from our homes across the UK and Ireland, we all logged on at the appointed hour, only to have the video feed suddenly drop out. And when it returned, the service, such as it was over. The funeral director was as baffled and as frustrated as we were. It had gone as planned, he said. They played some Beethoven on the way in and a popular song on the way out. But we saw none of that. And so we're left with a curious feeling of empty incompleteness. We were denied that awful psychobabble word, closure. We were, as Thomas Lynch puts it, unmoored, like trying to understand love when the bride is absent from her nuptials, or initiation and new life when the baby is missing from the baptism. May that lovely woman, my children's beloved grandmother, rest in peace. And may the government which left our care homes exposed to the virus one day be held to account for its failure to take the virus seriously when there was still time to prepare properly for it.